It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury joining us in just about an hour to talk all things NHL. And tomorrow it is a Patriots Friday. Jelani Tavai at around 7:30 tomorrow morning. And another Pudge's pal in the studio tomorrow morning at 9. In the Twitch chat during the break, no name as hat suggests that the $20 billion that OnlyFans has paid to its creators is nearly the amount that I have spent at Van Leeuwen Ice Cream over the last 6 months. Not quite at that number, but it's a real problem.
It has become part of your routine.
It is a real problem. They need to move that to some other location.
Or, I don't know, have just some self-control.
Well,
wow.
I had...
What?
DMs and I had salads for lunch yesterday at Just Salad.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, then at Van Leeuwen.
And then, unfortunately, just decided to get the small kitty at the Van Leeuwen.
You're better off just having a steak for lunch instead.
Yeah, the kitty is very small.
Yeah, it's
now,
tiny. The thing is, look at those two. That's tiny. And it was a beautiful day. It was like one of the last days of October. So
this is called
bargaining. You jump around flavor
wise. What's that?
You jump around flavor wise.
Yeah, that's the. I had the pumpkin cheesecake on the right.
Wow.
And Lindsay had the birthday cake on the left.
And just for clarification, Greg does not jump.
If you are caller number 9 right now, you can join us for one of, I would argue, the best events that we do all year long on this show, and that is Lunch with a Hero. It's happening on Friday, November 8th. Somebody texted in during the break and said, Veterans Day is on November 11th. Yes, we like to do our live shows on Friday. And so we will be at the American Heritage Museum on Friday, November 8th. You can come out and join us. Love to have you there. Love to have you say happy birthday and pay tribute to 100-year-old World War II veteran Joe Landry, who will be with us for a birthday party that morning at the American Heritage Museum. But if you are caller number 9 right now, you can bring your hero to lunch. And we would all love to thank them for their service for this country. So just call and tell us who you'd like to bring, and you will be there on Friday, November 8th for the live show in the morning at the American Heritage Museum. And then for Lunch with a Hero afterwards at the 110 Grill. And they always go above and beyond when it comes to the menu for Lunch with a Hero.
Yeah.
So it's one of a kind event. And it's so great to be able to hear the stories and thank the women and the men who have served this country. So I can't wait for that event coming up. But right now back to... Oh, and you can also go online. Go to WEEI.com in the contest page and just tell us who your hero is, and we're going to select a bunch of you from there as well. All right, back to the news, Courtney.
Well, passengers on Spirit Airlines freaked out after seeing a rat in the overhead bin on a flight from Dallas to L.A. If you're watching on Twitch, Mitch does have the video.
Oh, he does?
And let me warn you, if I saw this on a flight and you're trapped in this metal tube up in the air, pretty gross. Passengers even calling it a super rat. We can hear from one passenger who documented the entire thing.
Is Twitch in effing commercials right now?
Now I get confused because on my screen right now, I think it's because I have like the upgraded version or whatever.
You do.
I can see.
You have the bougie Twitch.
Oh, you can see it. Yeah, because I can't see it.
You pay for no commercials.
Yeah.
Which you got the picture in picture.
One can do that, correct? Sean?
Correct. Yeah. You can subscribe to the channel and that will allow you to watch.
Yeah, because
so
I can't see it.
Yep. Like, and I understand Twitch has to make their money. Like, I'm often accused of being responsible for the ads that run at Free Random. That's Twitch. I don't own Twitch.
Yeah.
Almost.
I wish that I could find somebody at Twitch who would coordinate ads at the appropriate time when we are running our ads. But I can't fix the problem. I've tried.
Mm.
I'm like Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
I keep trying to fix the problem. I can't fix the problem.
Trying to get your loot.
What's next? Well, anyway, that's an awful thing. Spirit Air, did they give everybody miles?
No,
or like,
I doubt
what,
it.
For the
Spirit,
super rat?
They're like, we made it. That's all that matters.
we landed.
Yeah. So by seeing that video, though, like, is it just a squirrel?
That's a rat.
That's a rat.
I don't know. It looks kind of squirrely.
No, look at the nose.
Super rat chime.
Okay. Yeah.
Super rat.
I'm just saying.
Whatever it is, I don't want it on my damn plane. I know that. Rat, squirrel, chipmunk.
Yeah. Now let's go to Florida.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of.
Come to Miami.
Florida.
Florida.
Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
A woman in Florida was charged after she injured multiple people when she crashed a golf cart into a crowded restaurant in Jensen Beach. If you're watching on Twitch, Mitch has the video of this as well. It happened Saturday at Taco Tiki.
I mean, honestly, no disrespect. I mean, this could happen, I'm sure, to any person, male or female, but she wasn't intoxicated. You have to ask that question because it's Florida.
She was not.
She just can't drive a golf cart.
She said she didn't know how to drive it, tried to turn it on, and unfortunately pressed the gas. Now, this story's interesting because employees of the resort had brought the golf cart up towards the restaurant, and the woman had jumped in, like this random woman. Then she was found alone in the golf cart, and again, not intoxicated, had decided to try to drive it.
How do you not know how to drive a golf cart? It's the same thing as a car. There's a brake, and there's a gas pedal.
She probably has issues driving a car, too.
I mean, and with, like, when you're going forward, I don't know, just take your foot off the gas.
Yeah, just put it on the thing to the left of the gas pedal, which is the brake, which is in every vehicle known to man.
Yeah, multiple people suffered serious injuries. One woman fractured a pelvis.
Oh, my God.
So very scary.
Like, let's put the golf carts away unless you probably need some kind of a training course, I guess. I mean, it's really the easiest thing in the world to drive.
Yeah, but like you said, it is Florida, so they drive golf carts down there just in these places to get around.
This is interesting. Goldfish is doing a bit of rebranding for adults. It's a temporary change, but limited edition crackers will now be named Chilean sea bass to make older folk feel like... Goldfish are a snack for adults.
Well, they are a snack. I mean, what parent hasn't consumed most of the goldfish that they bought for their kids? Emergency top five best goldfish flavors.
Regular.
If you cook that.
Number five.
Number one, pizza.
Oh, you are sick.
Yes, by far.
No.
I like the Parmesan ones.
Yes. No. Wigs?
Oh, yeah. No. Parmesan.
You're the man.
It's regular cheddar first, then Parmesan. Pizza. No.
Pizza is the best by
far.
Pizza
is delightful.
Pizza is a pass.
It would make my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Mm. The pretzel one's also good.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Pretzel ones are good.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've tried that one.
They're good.
Yeah, I want pretzel goldfish.
Is James into the goldfish, Curtis, at this point?
I've tried to get him to the cheddar bunnies, which are a little healthier.
Oh. Goldfish is the snack that smiles back.
Oh, man. There's all these like parent videos where they tell you what's in foods, and it's terrifying. Yeah.
Oh, you got to get off those. Like, the yuca thing I've had to put down.
You did?
Because I love goldfish. And
so
I didn't
you stopped
even...
checking all your food in the app.
Proud of you, Courtney.
Good job.
Yeah,
but the hair and makeup and stuff, I've continued.
Yeah.
I still eat stuff, but I don't want James to eat it.
Yeah. But we all ate goldfish. We're okay.
I am certainly not. Have you seen my therapist, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the goldfish. But I guess I love the Chilean sea bass crackers now.
Yeah, you can get them at ChileanSeaBassCrackers.com. Here's the video that they are using to make the announcement.
It's come to our attention that some people think goldfish crackers are just for kids. Well, what if we call them Chilean sea bass? They look just like goldfish. They taste just like goldfish, except they're called Chilean sea bass. Mm. So sophisticated. So adult.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Little brand, like a little brand stunt. But I think adults eat goldfish just as much as kids.
And it doesn't bother them that they're called goldfish. Right. Why not call it haddock crackers? You know, or catfish crackers.
You do enjoy eating soup crackers when we are at Gillette Stadium. Is that just because that's the only food that's available?
That's the only food that's available. Right. But I don't mind the soup crackers.
They're delicious.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Every now and then there'll be a few bags of pretzels lying around.
Yeah, but when they don't have the pretzels, you rummage your way around through the stadium as if you own the place.
Well, I mean,
and then you grab soup crackers, which are clearly meant for soup, not for your consumption during the morning show.
Well, I don't know. I think soup crackers are like saltines. protein crackers. They might be meant for soup, but if you have no soup, you can consume them that way.
They are yummy.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's what they're meant for, though, is for you to eat during the show.
There's a giant box of them.
There is a restaurant in Kennebunk who, instead of like bread service, they serve oyster crackers with like a seasoning on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably pretty
good. Give me the bread, though.
Okay.
Washington College is changing their logo because kids no longer know how to read cursive.
Really?
Yeah. So,
is this Ask a Boomer?
What? Yeah.
So, nobody knows how to read cursive.
Yeah, the old logo that you can see on Twitch right now is based on George Washington's original signature.
Yeah.
It's no more.
You mean the father of our country?
Yeah.
The first president?
Mm-hmm.
The man who saved us from England? Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who he is.
Wait, did they also remove the Latin?
Do people not understand a signature is signed in cursive?
It's taken me a minute to figure out what it says above Washington College.
So you can't read cursive?
You could read that? Yes. You just threw that up.
Yeah, yes. Look at that. It's George Washington. It says
G. Washington.
I didn't see Washington College underneath it, I probably wouldn't get that.
Right, exactly. Stop it. It's like a doctor's signature.
Why did they stop teaching cursive?
I don't know. I still write a lot of times in cursive.
Yeah.
I like cursive.
Kids do. Like, nobody writes in cursive no more.
Don't they know the cursive font that's available on Instagram?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be a way that they could learn
it? Great font?
Yeah.
But like the school saying, as cursive gets phased out of young people's education, the school wanted to be more welcoming to students who may have never learned the writing style.
Right. Welcoming.
Offend anybody.
It takes too long to write in cursive, and it's hard to read.
It unless takes you have less time to write in cursive.
No, but if you have good handwriting, like most people don't have great handwriting, and it takes a long time to do cursive if you don't have great handwriting. And it's hard to read, where if you print, it's much easier to read.
Mm. We have learned that some are triggered by cursive writing, and so we are eliminating it from our logo.
Okay. I thought it was just eliminating because it was hard to read and longer to take.
Yeah. And then we have the dumbest of the day.
Okay.
Stop being dumb.
And now, this woman is stone cold dumb.
I'm a dumbass.
The dumbest of the day.
Try again, dumbass.
All right, Curtis, we listened to everything that happened yesterday around this great world, and we are learning that this may have been the dumbest of the day.
So I don't, it is not my attempt to offend anyone.
Yeah.
But how do I ask this? Is anybody surprised at the pervasive nature of gender reveals still in 2024?
It seems interesting to me that people are still doing this.
So anyway, that was just a random aside. But a bakery in California ruined a family's gender reveal party. A woman in California named Arielle posted a voicemail accidentally ruining her gender reveal. She gave them a sealed envelope from her doctor and asked the bakery to do the fillings as whichever. If it's a boy, it's blue. If it's a girl, it's pink.
Pink, mm-hmm. So strawberry or blueberry whatever in the cake. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be surprised as a part of the gender reveal.
And you were surprised for each of your kids, Greg, right?
Yes, because I felt at the time there aren't many real surprises left in the world, so I didn't want to know which it was.
That is wild. Wiggs, did you and Talina know?
I think we went surprise maybe for one of the kids, but I wanted to know because, like a lot of guys, I was always, I was like, oh, give me a boy. And then after that, then it could, I could have whatever.
Oh, well, I think we have the voicemail. Is that what we have here?
This
bakery
is the voicemail that the bakery left, which ruined the gender reveal.
Hi, Ariel. Please give me a call regarding your order. You ordered a single lemon with blackberry, and we don't have blackberry filling. The only thing that actually makes the lemon single lemon is the lemon curd, and you want a gender reveal.
Okay.
So
it's a boy.
It's a boy.
Because of the blackberry?
And
it's a boy because of blackberry?
Yeah, I guess so.
Blackberries come out blue.
Do they? Is that a common thing?
Like if they're smashed? Yeah, I think that.
So what does she want? Like a free
cake?
Can't you
just die?
Like what is she demanding?
A bag of cash and a bunch of boys' clothes.
I feel like the gender reveal is like a surprise party for the baby.
Yeah.
I don't mind them. I mean, I wanted to know. I think,
I'm going to want to know.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
But I think people like that, element of it. Like I said, for a lot of guys, there are, you obviously, I'm going to say it, you want the baby to be healthy.
Yes.
But a lot of guys are like, oh, give me a boy.
Yeah, I think that But I think women are probably that way too, are they not? I would assume.
With wanting
they,
a girl, want, yeah, like a daughter.
Yeah, I would think so. So when you're like having this reveal, you're like, you know, please be boy, boy, boy. And then you're like, ah, yes. Oh, it's a girl. I still love her. Damn.
I just think that there's so much change going on in your life anyway. I want to be prepared for whatever gender it is going to be. I'm not going to have a party, but I'm going to want to know.
Yeah, like to design the room.
Yeah.
Did you have a gender reveal party when you got Harry?
No, but we wanted a boy.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. There were two boys in the litter.
Okay.
And we were the second to pick, but I said I would like, his name was Chevy when we got him.
Why did you pick a boy?
I grew up with boy dogs, so. Oh,
okay. The only time ever Courtney picked a Chevy.
Actually, it was the name of my college dorm, so I felt like it was a sign.
Perfect.
Is there any difference?
We're going to change his name to Range Rover.
Fully loaded dog.
Is there any difference, boy, girl, dog, like that you go?
Well, a girl dog gets her period, so.
Oh, so that's why you went with the boy, because you didn't want the girl
to
dog?
To deal with that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I did not know girl dogs did that.
Of course.
I had no clue.
And then you get them fixed after their first period.
Right. I think I've had all boy
dogs. It's kind
of
embarrassing. You have to go out and Courtney has to go out and buy little doggy tampons.
All right.
It's really embarrassing. All right. We got to go. That was a great news segment. Thank you, Courtney. Let's get to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurant and Pub. Patriots practice yesterday. A lot of guys missing from it. No Jalen Polk, Ramondre Stevenson, Curtis Jacobs, Layden Robinson, Anfernee Jennings, Vedarian Lowe, or Keon White. KJ Osborne did clarify that Call Me celebration he had in London, saying it meant, quote, call God. For the Panthers, Bryce Young will be back in at quarterback against the Broncos this weekend after Andy Dalton was in a car accident, injured his thumb on Tuesday. Thursday Night Football will see the Vikings at the Rams kick off at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on WEEI. The Celtics are on the road tonight taking on the Washington Wizards. Tip is at 7 p.m., the same exact time that the puck drops for the Bruins and Stars at the TD Garden. Speaking of the Bruins, Mike Milbury will join us this morning at 9 o'clock for the first Bruins Thursday of the season.
Excellent.
And cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 Restaurant, like the freshly baked homestyle chicken pot pie packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 59 degrees and cloudy. Afternoon high, 67.
All right, next, we'll get to They Said It Part 2. Are we going to hear from Perk, Sean?
We are going to hear from Perk about this Celtics team, Greg.
Okay. I think he's spot on in what he said. So we'll get to that. And They Said It Part 2, what they said yesterday in sports, coming up next. Well done, Sean. Actual audio of KJ Osborne trying to call God and not getting an answer at the very beginning of that ELO song. It's a Bruins Thursday. Bruins are basically 500 to start this season. And we will talk to Mike Milbury about that and other things coming up at 9 this morning. Before that, though, at 8:45, for those of you who insist on saying that the Boston Red Sox are gouging their fans price-wise at Fenway, Wiggy is demanding a full apology based on something that he learned this morning. So we will get to that coming up at 8:45 this morning. Real quick, this is Edward. Edward, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm honored to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. Thanks for listening. And more importantly, you are going to get to bring your hero to lunch with us on Friday, November 8th at the 110 Grill. Who are you bringing, Edward?
My brother, Joe.
And what branch?
He's in the Air Force for 25 years. He retired from the Air Force. He was in all over the world, and he was in Iraq, he was in Kuwait. He was in a lot of locations.
Awesome.
Actually, it would have been my dad. It would have been my dad. My dad was a Marine in World War II, but unfortunately, he's not with us anymore.
Oh, but sorry about that.
Next best thing is my brother.
We cannot wait to meet your brother and to say thanks and to see everybody at Lunch with a Hero at the 110 Grill and to see all of you, the rest of you, before that at the American Heritage Museum, which is in Hudson and in Stowe, on Friday, November 8th. And we will all say happy birthday to Joe Landry, our 100-year-old World War II veteran friend that we met at last year's Lunch with a Hero. All right, Chime, let's get back to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
The giant birthday card that we should get for Joe Landry, written in cursive. I just want to tell you that ahead of time. I don't want anybody to be triggered, but there might be some cursive there that you have to read.
Love
that
it.
Might say happy birthday, Joe. All right, what do you want to start with for They Said It Part 2 this morning, Chime?
Well, Greg, your Boston Celtics are back at it again tonight after dominating in their first game against the Knicks as they raised Banner 18 into the rafters. Well, Kendrick Perkins believes... this team is going to be pretty special. Here's what Perk said about the Celtics.
This is one of the greatest offensive teams I've ever seen in my damn life. Real talk. I've never seen a team with this much offensive firepower, with this much playmaking ability, this much talent on one squad that can make shots at the level that they can make shots. One of the greatest offensive teams I've ever seen.
Wow.
You agree? I mean, certainly numbers-wise.
Mm-hmm.
They were, at times, the best offense ever in the history of the NBA last season.
Wasn't that Golden State team pretty good with KD, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, where they had, Iguodala. So, I mean, yeah they're really good. They are really good when it comes. Because you think, look at the new NBA, hawking up threes. And so if you can do what they did the other night, what were they, 50% from behind the three-point?
Over,
60%? Like something crazy from the three-point line? But
they couldn't get that last one to beat the record.
They 61.
They missed 13 at the end of that game to try to get the record.
61 three-point attempts.
Honestly,
think about that.
I think the Olympic snub of Jason Tatum may have been the best thing that could have ever happened for this Celtics team.
And Joe Mazzulla going to then go talk to him, go fly to Paris to be with Jason Tatum during that. It just shows the bond that Joe Mazzulla has with these guys.
Looks good.
I think the fact that he didn't get playing time, I think is giving him a little bit of fire. And I really honestly think this team is... They're unbeatable.
I'm with the truth, Paul Pierce. I think, and I've Jason Tatum, obviously American-born player in the NBA, but I think he's the best player in the NBA all around offensive skill set wise.
You and College Tom agree. College Tom told me this morning before the show that he thinks Jason Tatum is the number one player in the NBA, hands down.
Yep. Giannis can't do what he can do.
That is a bold statement to make.
But you think about it, like Giannis can't do what Tatum does, scoring-wise, his ability to shoot.
Well, they asked Giannis who the best player in the NBA was this week, and he said Jaylen Brown because he won the championship and he won the MVP of it. So
I mean, listen, Jaylen Brown, give him a lot of respect for it. He's talented, Courtney. I know you've been riding his bus for a long time, and we've all jumped on the bandwagon with you. But, you know, they both have amazing skills, and I don't want to start the narrative like, you know, alpha.
Please
this.
Don't.
But, you know, Jason Tatum's skill set is just a little bit better, you know, and I'll be honest about that. And when you think about who the best players are in the NBA, you would say Luka can do a lot, the Joker. But I feel like skill-wise, offensively, Tatum.
Better than LeBron?
Yeah. LeBron is kind of like, LeBron's still a great player. Don't get it twisted. But, you know, LeBron is not the same player that he once was. And Tatum is a better shooter than LeBron, even when LeBron was in his prime.
Yeah.
You know? So
Monty Mac in the Twitch chat says, oh, my God, not the chip on their shoulder BS about the Olympics. Well, I don't know why. Why is that BS? I mean,
it's not BS.
People use things to motivate them. Yeah. I don't know why that's BS.
Really sorry the show's happening to you, Monty. Yeah.
And it's Tatum being slighted there, and it's Jaylen not getting the nod to go. So both of them have that chip on their shoulders. I think they've talked about that. I think that they've said that they felt disrespected through this offseason when all the praise should have been at them.
Right. And so, I would go another step, not just chip, and Wick said it. The confidence level that Tatum and Brown are playing with, I think now that the the monkey of winning a championship is off their back,
yeah,
you could see that they're playing with a different confidence level. Mm. And that I would take even to the next step rather than just chip on the shoulder.
And happy birthday to Jaylen Brown. It's birthday today.
Oh, excellent.
Right. OVO.
Yep. What is next, Shime?
Well, Greg, here's a nice little story for you. So one of the great players in New England Patriots history would be one Rob Gronkowski. He appeared on the Up and Adams show and explained just why his career was so legendary. Here was Rob Gronkowski.
That's what makes my career even more special, because back in the day when I was playing for New England,
yeah,
I was probably carried out, I would say, of a bar probably 5 to 10 times in my career while playing for the Patriots. And to be that drunk and then to go out and perform on the football field, you got to be a special talent to be able to do that. So it makes my career that much more legendary, that's for sure.
He's like the Lawrence Taylor when it comes to being drunk.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Probably needed 4 or 5 of your friends to carry you out if you're Gronk. I mean,
Wiggy, what do you always tell us?
Don't let your night job affect your day job. That is legendary status right there. Yeah. I mean, there's only 2 people that we know that can do that. One is Lawrence Taylor, and the other one is now Rob Gronkowski.
It's Gronk.
Yes. Is be completely getting carried out, and then the next day scoring 3 touchdowns and having 150 yards receiving. That is spectacular.
All right. What else, Sean?
So one of the topics we bring up a lot on this program is NIL and NIL money. Well, Jamal Charles was recently on a podcast and was asked about how much NIL money he might make if he was in college right now. And he brought up Bijan Robinson, interestingly. And it was funny how much he believes Bijan Robinson would have made if he had stayed at Texas. This is what Jamal Charles said.
Jamal Charles was in school right now. What you think he pocketed?
If I played the way I played, I'd definitely be in the $1 million range as a running back. You know, they were trying to pay Bijan to stay another year, 5 million. You know, they were trying to drop him back. They was like, nah, we can't give it to you. You can just go ahead, bro. We can't. Yeah. You can go ahead to the league, bro. We ain't gonna do you like.
I agree.
So far, what do you think of NIL in general? Has it been a positive or a negative when it comes to college sports?
I don't mind it. I mean, these coaches, think about how much these coaches are making. Kirby Smart makes $11 million a season to coach. And, you know, let's say Deion's making $5 million. You don't think Travis Hunter's worth? I mean, do you see what Travis Hunter said? You want me to come back, it's going to cost you $20 million.
I don't mind it for the players, but to Greg's point, for the game, has it been a positive or negative? I think that a lot of coaches would probably say it's turned into a negative.
Well, it's because it's become more difficult for coaches because there's more parity in the league. We've talked about this. Like, lesser teams can now be better, and I think that's a good thing for the overall sport. Right. Like, just because it makes those top-tier coaches' jobs a little bit more difficult doesn't mean that it's bad for the game.
When you say difficult, though, you could be a head coach and a guy agrees to come and play for you. You spend a ton of time recruiting him. And gets there or doesn't even get there because he got a better offer somewhere else. I mean, it's...
Oh, guess what? Give him a better offer.
Yeah.
Isn't that what, you
Pony
know...
Pony up or get
and you
out.
You say that's what makes America great? Right? If I know based...
Again?
You know, if I know based on, like, Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning, you don't think, like, based off the couple of games that Arch Manning is playing, you don't think teams are looking at him like... Oh, damn, we would give him a bag all day long. So Texas...
Well, doesn't that suck for the fans, though?
Yeah, but I mean, the same could be said for free agency. I'm sure it was better to be a Steeler fan in the 70s. You didn't lose Bradshaw or Mean Joe Green, but...
Or a Niners fan in the 80s, 90s.
Right, like, but to have the ability for players to maximize their earning potential is kind of capitalism.
And why don't you complain about a coach? Like, if Billy O's making $4 million and let's say Florida offers him $8 million to leave next year... You won't complain. You won't say, well, Billy, what about all the guys that you coached that you were going to be at Boston College for the next, 4 years, and now you're gone and they got to figure out something to do. I never hear people complaining about the coaches.
Yeah.
I do wish NIL was a bit more structured, but I think overall, like, it's a positive for the game.
You can never structure it because the problem becomes, like, and I brought up Travis Hunter. He can't be making the same amount as a guy who's not putting up the same type of production.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's the whole, like, you know, we talk about the whole Title IX thing. It's, you know, in college sports, football and basketball bring in money. So
How can any other sport, even if it's, you know, a female or not a female, how can the baseball players go, we want the same as the football players? Or the girls' basketball team go, we want the same as the men's basketball? You just can't do it because some sports and players are on a different level when it comes to bringing in money. You think Caitlin Clark wasn't making more than all of the Iowa football players?
100% she was. Right.
So you don't think it's going to go in the direction of the of a union and a player, a college players union, and then they're going to demand the same amount of money for everybody that is playing in the game, whatever the game is?
You can't do it because you got a union in the NFL, right? And everybody doesn't get the same amount of money. That's what, you know, even the union helps you with maybe getting you certain things in the collective bargain agreement. But, you know, I'm in the union. I don't go, well, guess what? I should be getting paid the same as Randy Moss.
Yeah.
You know, union, go fight for that. You know,
I mean, a texter says that it's better because the better players are staying in school longer than they would have.
That's
playing,
true.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if Bijan Robinson had been convinced to stay at Texas. Like, that's another year of an awesome player being at the college football level. And we talk about college basketball. One of the best things about women's college basketball compared to men's is that the women are there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so you can build storylines and build rivalries where if guys are just one and done, mm-hmm. like, you can't do that.
It's not the better players, it's the good players. Because, like, the great players, like a Travis Hunter. Why would you stay at, we talked about, I think, with Caleb Williams last year, why would you stay in college for $10 million when you're going to be the first overall pick and you're going to be guaranteed $30 million? And then you're running the risk of getting hurt. Like, so college will never, so it'll keep a guy in that might be somebody who might be like a third or fourth round pick who says, all right, I'll stay in and make an extra $1 million. But it ain't going to keep those, like, it ain't going to keep Shador Sanders or Travis Hunter or Quinn Ewers in college.
So, I mean, if it's good for the college athlete, would you then believe that it's good eventually for the high school athlete coach?
I got no issues.
You have no problem with
that. If you're that good, and obviously your parents would have to do it because you're, you know, in high school and you might be 16 or 17.
It's also not really the great players when it comes to, it's personality driven as well. Like the Cavender twins with Miami, they weren't the best women's basketball players out there, but they had a platform that got that companies wanted to capitalize on. So they got massive NIL deals.
And I think women are a little bit different because women obviously have the ability to use their sex appeal to say what you can laugh all day
because men are perverts.
No, but you can laugh all day long, right?
No, we saw the OnlyFans numbers, Greg.
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at us as a sex.
Yeah.
You're saying that the NIL money that goes to the Cavender twins is just because men are perverts.
Oh yeah.
I mean, look at the right. Would you agree with
that? Or Liv Dunn? Like everybody, I remember so many people the last Olympics were saying, "How is Livy Dunn not on the Olympic team?" And it's like she is not on the same level as these Olympians. She is just in your face all the time and making a ton of money because
her skill,
men love her.
Her skill is not gymnastics.
Well, she's skilled.
It's being hot.
She's very good at gymnastics. She's in a very good program. But
just be honest, like she's good. Like the Cavender twins, they're solid basketball players, but because of their look, they utilize that to their skill set and they make more money doing that than, you know, somebody that's Aaliyah Boston, who's a way better in basketball.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, guys might be looking at her differently.
Okay. Speaking of the women's basketball WNBA, there's an upstart league that's trying to get Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not going to.
Would she leave the WNBA?
Yeah. I think she's not going to leave the WNBA. That upstart league is played in the winter. So it'll be like, rather than go overseas, you can play in the female version of the Big Three because it's Breonna Stewart and another NBA player that are kind of like the backing of it.
I don't think she'd do it.
Angel Reese is in it. I think there's a lot of WNBA players.
Yeah, I don't think Caitlin Clark would.
All right, we got to take a break. Wiggy wants an apology for those of you who continue to accuse the Red Sox of price gouging.
Mm.
You want a full apology.
I want a full apology.
Based on something you learned today. So we'll get to that next. Well, yeah, Wiggy wants an apology. Some of you, and we'll get to that in a minute. Mike Milbury coming up in 10 minutes. for the first time this Bruins season on a Bruins Thursday. This is Joe from Randolph. What's up, Joe?
Hi, good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
So far, so good, but the day's just starting.
You ain't lying.
Well, anyways, I think there's only one hope left for the Patriots,
and
that's to fire the head coach, hire a daycare director, and let her deal with all the crybabies on the team.
Or him.
What do you folks think?
Or him. Yeah, it could be him.
We'll get to that in a minute. Mike,
I don't believe that... I think Gerard Mayo has a somewhat lengthy leash when it comes to being the head coach of this football team.
I would be shocked today if he's back as the head coach next year.
Really?
I don't think it's fair. It's not what I would do. But it's not even Halloween. And we got the second thoughts note on Monday. Like, this is... If it continues down this path, I don't know how.
You got to. He doesn't have to win another game. There's no way Robert Kraft would fire him.
Agreed.
Because people, you know.
He's already leaking stuff about him.
But it doesn't look good for you, Robert Kraft. If you're leaking this stuff and you leak the fact that this was the guy that you knew was going to be the coach for the past 5 years, like, that just don't make sense.
Okay, but. If we agree, and I'm not disagree, like I'm not, I agree with your sentiment, Wiggy. You're right. But if these are actual non-Volan reports, they are coming from someone around Kraft, if not Kraft himself, right?
Yeah, but I don't believe them. That I guess maybe that's me. I don't believe there was the reports of them having second thoughts weren't the second thoughts before the season even started?
Right. We're hearing them now.
Now.
Whenever the thought was found, was developed, that's not relevant.
No, I think it is, right? So he went from, this is my guy, I love him, young Thundercat, all that stuff. He went from that to, you know, a couple weeks into training camp, whispering to people, I might have made a mistake.
Right. Well,
Tom E. Curran yesterday said essentially that Gerard Mayo was not ready for the job. Am I right about that, Curtis?
Well, yeah, but that's why this is so damning, is I don't think anybody believed he was going to be an elite head coach in year one. Mm-hmm. We all believe the plan was expedited because of last season's 4-13 record. But the fact that these are coming out of Foxborough in some way, shape, or form at this point, suggests the guy that's not going to be willing to stand behind the decision he made.
And I don't think if it is coming or if there is truth to it, I don't think it's coming from Robert. Because what do we know about Robert Kraft? What do we say about him through the dynasty, through this? He cares about what more than anything else?
Hall of Fame, his perception.
Right? Yeah. So doesn't this make him look like a jackass if he hired a guy and for 5 years or 5 years, and then
you hired a guy as a head coach who didn't have had zero head coaching experience.
Right.
Then you went out of your way to say that you identified him as the head coach 5 years ago.
Right.
When you were in Israel. And then the team is struggling way more than you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Then you theoretically start to get it out there that you had second thoughts over the summer, so as to protect yourself if you feel like you may need to fire him at the end of the season.
Right, but you look like a fool. Then people would say, well, why would you hire a guy with no experience? Why would you then be talking to a guy behind Bill Belichick's back? So all it does is make him look worse.
Right, nothing really makes him look good right now because the team is the least talented in the NFL.
Right,
however, but the point of this story, Greg, is right. He's saying he's thought this since August, but he's been patient. I'm only releasing it at the end of October. In other words, it's creating a bigger gap between the thought and the release of it, as if to say I was trying to see if he would turn it around.
But if he does it after year one, it makes him look horrible.
We agree.
Right, but
letting Brady go looked horrible.
No, wait. What makes him look worse? Let's say this team doesn't win another football game and he keeps him. You could argue that that makes him look
worse. No, it doesn't. What would make him look better in the way that it is say, okay, let me give this guy another year, because if he doesn't turn it around, then I can at least say I gave him his opportunity. We put some pieces around him.
You keep him, you fire guys under him, and then you spend all offseason. Yeah. That's the only way you look good going into next season.
All right, speaking of spend, there are teams that don't around here. Mm. And you now, because of several bags of merch that you received, you now want an apology for those who criticized the Red Sox?
Well, yes, because I sent this out, and I don't know if you saw this. They just did the arena that has the highest price on beer.
The venues in sports.
Yes.
All sports.
All sports. So then what I did is I'm like, because you always hear people bitching and complaining about the Red Sox. Why would I want to go watch a team when I got to spend $20 on a beer and they stink and it's going to cost me blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. You know how much the Red Sox cost? How much you think it costs for a 16-ounce beer at Fenway Park?
$16.50.
$11. Wrong. $10.50. Who do you think has the highest beer prices
Bruins.
Amongst the local teams?
Bruins.
Bruins? Pfft, wrong.
New England Patriots?
Wrong.
The Celtics.
Celtics, $20 for a beer.
16-ounce beer for $20?
Yep. Who do you think has the cheapest beer prices amongst our teams?
Bruins.
Nope.
Red Sox.
Nope.
Patriots?
Yep. $8.58.
Really?
So for all the teams.
Oh, wait a minute. It costs you more to get a beer at a Celtics game than it does at a Bruins game?
Yeah, I guess they have to pay the rent, so you got the rent fee.
Bruins, the same vendor.
Right.
But here's probably.
I don't think it costs $20 for a 16-ounce beer. I don't drink beer anymore. Not
right
like
here,
I did before.
$12.50.
I also don't think it costs $8 at Gillette.
You want?
Wait, so how much is it at a Bruins game?
$12.50.
And then at a Celtics game?
At a Celtics game, $20. Let me give you the exact $20.32.
How is that possible? It's the same beer. It's the same vendor. It's the same location.
Here's
it's
the how atmosphere. You're paying for the atmosphere.
No. Here's how it's possible.
Bruins fans would be very disappointed in you saying that.
Who owns, and this is why I say whoever buys the Celtics wants their own stadium. Who owns the TD Garden?
The Jacobs.
Here's what the Jacobs do. The Jacobs are saying, all right, we'll charge our fans a little bit less money. We might miss out on some stuff, but what you know what we're going to do? We're going to raise the prices for the Celtics for when they have to sell their beers, and this is what
but
it
it's still
will
the
look
Jacobs
at.
Money. It's their money.
Right. No, but it's like it's
they're trying to make the Celtics look like they are the ones who are choosing to have more expensive beers.
Or they're getting a little bit more from the Celtics.
But tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Celtics are paying like, all right, we need 500 beers, and then they pay it, and then they're not charging the Celtics. It's the vendors that just have the beer, and it comes out of the fans' pocket.
But with their up prices, so it's like the analogy I gave you is like if somebody owned the home and they rented the first floor out to their cousin, they say they might charge them a little bit less, and they make the back end because they rent more to you on the third floor.
Wait, what's your source on this?
It is. I'll tell you. It's from let me pull it up right here. Vine Pier. It's like
So I have an article from Mass Live that in 2023, so not even this year, last year, the cheapest beer at Gillette Stadium, a 16-ounce beer, was $11, not $8.50.
It's right here.
Wiki,
Google it.
I'm just telling you. Like, I have an article from
and
Mass
this
Live.
This is from September 25th, 2024. The price of beer at every NFL stadium. And it's from, let's see, who and that kind of thing, because it's a bunch of them. The Washington Commanders, number one for 16-ounce beer, $16.49. The New England Patriots, down at number 24, $8.58. So that's all you got to do is Google it.
Interesting. All right. Well, you're waiting for an apology.
There it is right there on the Twitch. You just put it up.
Google it.
Vine Pier?
Yeah. We got to take a break because Mike Milbury is standing by. It's a Bruins Thursday. Bruins off to about a 500 start on this young season, and we'll talk to Mike Milbury about that next.